Myth number 7. A great relationship has nothing to do with sex. Don't you believe it for a minute. Sex provides an important timeout from the stresses and strains of a fast-paced world and adds a quality of closeness that is extremely important. Sex is an important exercise in vulnerability, wherein you allow your partner to get close. In fact, it can be pretty darn good exercise, period. It is, in most circumstances, a mutual act of giving and receiving, and sharing a symbolic act of trust. For most couples, it is one of perhaps a very short list of things that distinguishes this particular relationship as different from the others experienced in the world. I'm not saying sex is everything. If you have a good sexual relationship, it registers about 10% on the importance scale, meaning it makes up about 10% of what's important in the relationship. But if you do not have a good sexual relationship, that registers about 90% on the importance scale. A good sexual relationship can make you feel more relaxed, accepted, and more involved with your partner. But if your life together is devoid of sex, then the issue becomes a gigantic focus of the relationship. Sex can be of enormous symbolic importance. It can be the greatest single factor of disappointment in a relationship. It can lead to feelings of deep anxiety, inadequacy, rejection, and resentment. Once the sexual problems get to that level, any number of destructive behaviors can begin to emerge between you and your partner. Because sex is so intimate, so personal, feelings of rejection in this particular area are magnified 100-fold. Sexual urges and needs are natural, appropriate, and important to act upon. When I say that, I'm not just restricting myself to the act of intercourse. I'm talking about sex as a physically intimate experience, combined with a mental and emotional connection. In this context, I define sex as all forms of private, and to some extent public, touching, caressing, holding, and any other means of providing physical comfort. I certainly don't believe that you must return to the heated sexual stage that you might have had when the two of you first met. Remember myth number 2, a great relationship demands a great romance. But there must be a sexual bond between the two of you, a kind of chemistry that makes you two recognize that you're more than friends who share a life. You are mates. Myth number 8. A great relationship cannot survive a flawed partner. Most therapists will wrongly tell you that if you have craziness or even serious weirdness in the character makeup of one or both partners, a healthy relationship is impossible. Of course, they are selling therapy. I have heard an alarming number of therapists and authors take the position that you cannot relate to craziness. I know of many marriages that came to a quick end because, as one of the parties would later say, the guy I married turned out to be really, really crazy. Or, she was a real nutcase. Or, I don't know what happened. After the wedding, he started acting really bizarre. When you really stop and think about it, I'm not sure that we even have a very good handle on what normal is. Everybody you know has some characteristic that is different. Even though that characteristic may not be what you or even they might choose in a perfect world, it should not be allowed to frighten or dominate your thinking about who they are. And that applies to your relationship. So long as the quirks and nuances are not abusive to you or blatantly destructive to your partner, you can certainly learn to live with them. My father and I shared a clinical practice for some years and once worked jointly with a family that included a husband and wife and 3 teenage daughters. To be completely honest, the mom was schizophrenic. She would routinely hear voices, particularly in the late afternoon, before the children got home from school. However, when she wasn't talking to someone that wasn't there, she was sweet, kind, and highly talented in many areas. Now, I'll admit this is not exactly the kind of thing I would consciously look for in a mate, but unlike most psychotics, the woman basically functioned pretty well and took excellent care of her family. She was absolutely devoted to her husband and children. Her hallucinations were fairly benign and non-disruptive to the family and home. Still, this was behavior that was worthy of change, and Carol Ann herself wanted to be better. Her husband Don attended therapy sessions 100% of the time that he was asked and was 100% behind his wife. With his support, Carol Ann did ultimately make some progress. I say some progress because in one of our later sessions, when she had reportedly not heard a voice for 14 days in a row, the longest period of silence ever, she added a few details that concerned me. When I asked her if she was hearing any voices, she said she was not. When I asked her if she completely and fully understood that they were hallucinations and not someone trying to possess or control her, she also answered in the affirmative, but added that just to be on the safe side, she had cut every wire in the home's intercom system. She did so based on the theory that if they did decide to start talking to her again, they wouldn't be able to do it using those built-in speakers. Not what I would call a cure, and again, not what I would refer to as a desirable characteristic, but the couple and family found a way to deal with it. That couple has now been married 37 years and could not be happier in their intercomless home. Sometimes we feel that because something is not mainstream, then it must be toxic to the relationship. And that's not necessarily true. Everyone has quirks and odd personality traits, and they can sometimes seem bizarre. If your partner's quirks and nuances are non-abusive to you and non-destructive to him or her, you can work on them. But at the same time, you can also accommodate them and enjoy a rewarding and fulfilling relationship. Even craziness can be made to work.